This daily discussion of the great questions of life and death gives us an opportunity to take a close look at the Bible. We're in search of answers to age-old concerns about the origin and destiny of man. We are focusing our attention on the issue of death and the possibility of living again after we die. We've been asking the most fundamental of all questions with the psalmist. In Psalm 8, verse 4, we inquire, "What is man? Who are we who populate this extraordinary earth? Is man an immortal soul in a material body? Or is that theory a mere hangover from ancient paganism? What is life? And what is death? Are the wicked now, while we enjoy the experience of today, actually suffering a ghastly and perpetual torment? What happens at the resurrection of the dead? What is the meaning of Judgment Day?" Funeral sermons are perhaps the worst occasions for taking a really objective look at what the Bible says about death. And yet funerals are for some the only time when they seriously reflect on their own mortality. But when the service is over and the tears are wiped away, it's all too easy to get caught up in the bustle of life and to forget that we all have an appointment with death. There's a popular idea about death which goes like this. Death is really only an entrance to life, life in bliss or life in endless misery. Now, when we examine the Bible, things seem to be very different. This suggests that something has happened to change or confuse the way death is thought of. We want to try to put our finger on that confusion so that we can all read the Bible without adding to it some of our own preconceived ideas. My strong impression is that the Old Testament has been practically ignored in this matter of studying life and death, and this is a serious mistake. 50 times at least in the pages of the Old Testament, the kings of Israel, when they die, are said to sleep with their fathers. That is how the Bible teaches us to think of death, just like a long sleep. Jesus and the apostles also spoke of death as sleeping. Stephen, when he died, fell asleep. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Dead Christians are said to be sleeping in the ground, waiting to be woken up. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. The picture of death across the pages of the Bible is quite consistent. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, was quite clear about death. He said that the dead were unconscious, altogether asleep and thinking of nothing, insensible. But we don't seem to see it quite like that. Despite the protests of noted Bible scholars, we seem to cling to our own theories. Christians, however, should be committed to the ideal of speaking of death as Jesus did. That's only reasonable. To understand why the Bible uses the analogy of sleep for death, we must go back to basics. First of all, man was created from the dust of the earth, as were the animals. He and they were clearly mortal beings. When the flood depopulated the earth, the Genesis account reports that, and I quote, "All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life died, birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind, all died." There's not a word here about any conscious survival for man in an unseen world. Every living creature, man and animals, had the same breath of the spirit of life and lost it at the flood. Indeed, as we trace our way through the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, we find a very clear description of death. Let me put it to you in this way. The situation is certainly not that the John Brown of the famous song is a bipartite creature. Scripture does not say that while John Brown's body lies a-mouldering in the grave, yet his spirit or soul, the conscious John Brown, goes marching on. Nothing of the sort. John Brown, according to the Bible, has disappeared, body and soul. The whole John Brown has died. The life-giving energy which God gave him at birth has been withdrawn. His life is suspended. He has gone to the world of the dead, called in the Bible Hades, or as we might say, the world of the grave. Hades, in some versions of the Bible, has been rather confusingly translated by a number of different English words, the grave, the pit, and even hell. Now, all this is most confusing for the reader. Our modern versions of the Bible have done much to help. In the New International Version of the Bible, they decided to translate the word hell as the grave. I wonder if you knew that what you read as hell in the Old Testament is really just a place for all the dead, both the good and bad. You can confirm this in any good Bible dictionary. It's a simple fact. Let me repeat this most important biblical fact. The word hell in the King James Version in the Old Testament means a place for all the dead, the good and the bad alike. In other words, the King James word hell in the Old Testament never means hell fire, a place of punishment for those who have not been serving God. Let me tell you how that word hell came into our King James Version in the Old Testament. You perhaps know that the King James translation dates from 1611. Hell originally meant nothing other than the place where all the dead go. It did not mean a place of torment. Hell comes from an Old English verb which means to hide, and the dead were hidden in the grave. So the place where the dead went was called hell, the hiding place. Our New Testament speaks of Jesus not being abandoned to hell. Now, this does not mean that Jesus went immediately to death into hellfire. It means that Jesus went to the place where all the dead were. He died as every man dies. The great difference was that Jesus was in the grave, Hades, for only 3 days. He was then rescued from the place of the dead. He was rescued by being woken up from the dead, which is the meaning of the great word resurrection. Let me remind you of Job's great words about his hope of leaving the grave by being woken up from the sleep of death. Job said, "Man, once in his resting place, will not rise again. Until the heavens wear away, he will not awake, nor rise from his sleep." Job 14, verse 12. Then Job said, "If only you would hide me in the grave." And that gives us just the right idea for the meaning of the grave in the Old Testament. It's the place to be hidden. It's the place to be sleeping. And it's the place from which one day God will awake the sleeping dead, or in other words, will resurrect them. We shall have much to say about the resurrection when we come to consider the New Testament in future programs. But for the moment, we're defining death as the Old Testament defines it. Of course, we know that Jesus worked out of the Old Testament for the basis of what he taught. Jesus had learned the great truths about the nature of man in Genesis. He knew that man was formed from the dust of the earth, and that he was a mortal creature, sharing a mortal soul, not an immortal soul, with the members of the animal kingdom. And Jesus knew that man, not just his body, returned to the dust at death. And he knew, of course, that the only solution to our mortality is the hope of resurrection from the dead. So here is the important point we want to make quite clear today. And we invite you to examine these questions for yourselves. When men and women die, they go to a place called Sheol in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, that is. In our New Testament, the same word is Hades in the Greek language. Both these words, Sheol and Hades, mean the place where all the dead are, the faithful dead and the wicked dead alike. Hades is simply the abode of all the dead until they're resurrected. Hades throughout the Old Testament is the world of the dead. It's a place of complete inactivity, of complete rest from the struggles of life. In our next program, we need to examine carefully what is said about the condition of the dead in Hades. We will look at a number of most instructive verses in the Old Testament to make sure that we lay the proper foundation for our study of the great questions of life and death. Nothing can be more disastrous in Bible study than to ignore or forget the Old Testament. The Old Testament provides us with the indispensable foundation of everything which Jesus later taught. Christianity, you know, is a Hebrew religion. Salvation, said Jesus, is of the Jews, and we must learn to think like the Jews if we are ever to understand Christianity as Jesus taught it. Jesus himself was a Jew and thoroughly versed in the Hebrew Bible, what we now call the Old Testament. The neglect of the Old Testament is responsible for a great deal of confusion and chaos in matters of biblical interpretation. We leave you then with the thought that the death which faces all of us is like a sleep in the grave, a sleep which will be brought to an end by the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection is the only hope of our return to life. That is the great challenge of the Christian faith. Man is mortal, but he's a candidate for immortality. That's what makes life an exciting adventure. It may be that some of this material is new to you. We invite you to follow our daily discussion. There is nothing to be lost and everything to be gained by sharpening our understanding of the great truths of the Bible. Contact us at the telephone number given at the end of this program. We have some free literature which we would like to offer you. Join us again at the same time tomorrow as we continue casting our searchlight on the Bible in pursuit of answers to the great questions of life and death. These are life and death questions which you cannot afford to ignore. Until then, may God bless you in your search for truth.